Welcome to the Android Guys in Brief podcast, sponsored by Blue Microphones. Today is Thursday, August 16th, 2018, and my name is Matt Adams. I'm joined by editors Andrew Myrick and Donovan Jessica. Guys, how are we doing tonight?
Pretty good, Matt. How about yourself?
Can't complain. Andrew, how are you doing?
It's almost Friday.
I know, right?
We're so close.
We're right there. I need this weekend. All right, so there has been a ton going on in the past week for tech news. Feel like we had a couple quiet weeks and then just a tsunami lately. We're going to start this podcast off talking about the LG G7. Normally, you know, not that big a news, but we just published our review, and luckily we have Andrew with us tonight who did the review. So, Andrew, why don't you tell us a little bit about the phone?
Yeah, so the phone is LG's quote-unquote flagship for 2018. It's got the Snapdragon 845, 4 or 6 gigs of RAM, 64 or 128 gigs of storage, a very frustrating, very small 3,000 milliamp hour battery.
Oof.
You know, we got the 19:9 aspect ratio, notch at the top, little baby chin at the bottom, rear-mounted fingerprint scanner, dual camera system as expected. Wide-angle lens, and then just your standard 12-megapixel sensor. So I did the review for Android Guys, and it published earlier today, and I absolutely love the phone, except for the battery.
How bad is it?
I can't make it through the day without having to recharge.
Ooh. That's rough.
I don't know if it's just me. I don't know if there's like an app that's causing issues in the background. I'm going to actually like look into that later tonight. But the battery has been like super, super bad. Like it'll be off the charger for like 3 or 4 hours and I lose 40%. And 10% an hour is not okay.
That's completely unacceptable.
I mean, especially maybe with average use or medium use, but not if it's just sitting in your pocket.
No, like I'm at work and stuff like that. Like, I do a little bit of browsing on Twitter before I actually walk out the door, but once I get to work, I'm not really on it until, like, I go on a smoke break or my lunch or something like that.
So when you're actually using it for, you know, gaming and social media, you know, the actual intense stuff, how bad is the drain there? Or is it just that the resting drain is terrible, but the usage is actually okay?
The usage actually doesn't seem terrible unless you're playing like a super intensive game. Like, what's the name of that new one that just came out? It's not CSR Racing or whatever. Asphalt 9.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been playing that a lot. And like, of course, it's going to destroy any battery, you know.
Sure.
Like even my Pixel 2 XL, like it just murders it. But the amount of battery drain that I'm getting is bothersome to me. I was looking on the subreddit, the G7 subreddit last night, and it seems like there was an update that came out, but I haven't gotten it yet. So maybe that'll fix things. But for right now, like I'm still using it as my daily driver, but
I feel like the days of terrible standby battery life, that's all Google has really focused on the last like 2 years in software updates to see that LG, one of the premier phone manufacturers out there today, still having problems with that. You just wonder what exactly is going on there.
Yeah, like when my Pixel, I'm sorry, go ahead, Donna.
I was going to say, it kind of sounds like you have a rogue app going on there, because I mean, with Bluetooth low energy and Wi-Fi taking up so little energy these days, it doesn't seem like it should be draining as fast as it is.
No, I definitely agree. Like I was going to say, I forgot to charge my Pixel 2 XL the other night, and that's running Android Pie. And I went from like, I think it was 45% to like 39 over the span of 9 hours, just sitting on my desk. And I was just like, I actually messaged Matt. I was like, this is insane.
That's great. Yeah, that's great.
I was like, I'm not used to having a phone that only drains like single digit percentage points.
So we've talked about the negative. On the positive standpoint, what sticks out to you?
I love the display. I know it's not an AMOLED. I know Samsung has a stranglehold on that. I like that there's a notch, but it's not too obtrusive. And if you really want to get rid of it, you can, thanks to like the software tweaks. So basically you just like head into the settings and it's called Second Screen, and it basically just makes the LCD screen black on either side so that you don't actually like see the notch, which is really, really useful. Quick charge is on board, which is very helpful in my situation. Headphone jack has come in handy a couple times. The other weird thing is they got rid of the power button being inside, like on the fingerprint scanner. So now there's a separate power button altogether. But it's just on the frame now. The cameras, they're solid. I had the G6 and I love the cameras on that. Having a telephoto lens is pretty sweet. There's a portrait mode, but it's on the software side of things, which it seems to work okay. It's not like the Pixel 2 or iPhone X or anything like that, but
with the notch, does it still use the blackened areas as the notification bar like the OnePlus 6 does, or does it completely negate the use of that
area? No, you still drag down. So like the time's on the left, you know, the battery and signal strength and all is on the right, and you can still use that as though it's just a regular part of the screen.
Yeah, that's what I use on my OnePlus 6, and I like how it looks because the notch is kind of weird and it doesn't add any like real benefit to being there other than looking pretty striking and garish. But when it's all black with just the notification icons up there, I think it looks really clean.
Yeah, I had it on there for a couple of days, and then I don't know why I just decided to get rid of it.
And you know, I couldn't help but notice when you called it by when you introduced the phone, you called it the G7, but that's not all it's called. What's the full name?
Nope.
Come on.
It's the LG G7 Think or ThinQ.
ThinQ. That's the brand of the brand of the day right now. The ThinQ.
LG has this thing. I don't know why. Because it didn't go back and like update a few phones from last year with the name like.
Yeah, the G6. They baked
it into the software.
G6, yep. The B35.
Yep. But I get the lovely ThinQ branding on the back now instead of just being, you know, the LG G7. It's the G7 Think.
So now you got to stare at that branding all day.
Nope. That's what I have a slim case for.
So for those of you who don't know ThinQ or Think, I'm just gonna not say it because it's stupid branding. But that is all about LG's artificial intelligence push. And whether that's a buzzword or not, we don't quite know yet. But did you see any of that initiative in the phone, you know, any kind of AI that actually helped instead of just being kind of a buzzword for features that were already in phones?
It's in the camera a lot. There's a specific camera setting called AI Cam. And it just basically takes a look at whatever you're looking at through the viewfinder and tries to figure out what it is. I played with it a little bit. It just kind of feels gimmicky to me, just something they can throw in there. But it seems like it does a pretty good job. Like I've got it open right now, and I have a pretzel roll on my desk, on a plate on my desk, and it's like, this is food. There's another picture of my girlfriend and I, and it's like, this is people. So I mean, do with so that.
It just changes like the picture settings when it sees something and it recognizes.
Yeah, it just automatically changes. Like if you focus in on like food, a little your phone will vibrate, and in the bottom left hand corner it'll say this is for like you're taking a picture of food. So let me adjust the settings for you, so that it can look better overall. So it does the same thing with like people and stuff like that too.
So this is different than, say, Google Lens.
Yeah, because Google Lens primarily like, just like identify, like it brings up information about something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like this doesn't tell me that the, you know, the bottle of water on my desk is from Giant. It just says, you know, bottle.
It is a bottle, right?
Yeah. And then it just adjusts what you see in the viewfinder based on the lighting around your, you know, in your where you are.
Gotcha. Are there any other AI features in the phone other than in the camera? It seems like a lot of branding and work to just label something based on one feature.
Yep, there is a built-in Google Assistant button, a la Bixby.
Gotcha.
It's on the left-hand side underneath the volume rocker. And you just tap it once, and it brings up Google Assistant for you, and you can get Google Assistant, you know, without having to say, like, a phrase or anything like that. But I saw myself pushing it way more times than I wanted to.
Like, just now, I would guess.
Yeah, like, instead of hitting the volume down button, I would always, like, reach too far.
Right.
And hit that button, or, like, taking it out of my pocket or something like that.
So what's this thing going to run, people?
It's being found on a lot of deals right now, but it's around $750. Oof. Which is kind of a tough pill to swallow. I mean, it's not the $1,200 or $1,000 that the Note 9 is or whatever, but it's still a tough pill to swallow from LG.
Well, what is your overall verdict? Is this a buy for people? Is this a pass? How do you feel?
So I had the S9 Plus for a little bit, and I would recommend the G7 over that, provided that I can figure out what the hell's wrong with my battery. but it's a great phone. It feels great in the hand. It's sleek. It's slender. Like, it's got dual cameras. It's got all the latest and greatest in terms of, like, the specs that you could want, and other than, you know, but it's got the headphone jack, USB-C, a little tiny notch. It's not like a big obtrusive thing that's going to, like, stick out like a sore thumb. Like, I think the notch is actually smaller than the one on the iPhone X, which is quite nice considering those are the two phones that I'm switching between right now.
All right. Well, let's move on to our next topic. T-Mobile recently unveiled their next Un-carrier move. We have T-Mobile trying to completely change how customer service is done. Now, instead of calling into a call center and you just kind of end up with whoever you end up, there are a team of experts that will be specific for your area. So if you live in the Midwest or the South, you will get someone from your area, and your team will stick with you in your next call. So if you call back, you're going to get the same team members. And the cool thing about that is your team is always going to have access to, you know, what's going on. So the information will be a little more readily available. The help will be a little more personal. Which, hey, everybody hates calling into a phone tree and, you know, getting somebody that you can't understand. So it seems like T-Mobile is doing good things there. And also, they announced a partnership with Live Nation, and T-Mobile customers will now be able to get discounts. And this is interesting, and I'm not sure exactly how they're going to pull this off, but T-Mobile says there will be availability for sold-out concerts. So we don't know if this is just Live Nation holding back some tickets or how this is going to work. But guys, what do you think? Donovan, does this make you want to go to T-Mobile any more than, you know, it did before?
Well, the customer service aspect really is being undersold, I think, by a lot of outlets. It's not like a game-changing decision on their part, but customer service is one of the worst aspects of trying to get help with your device. Mm-hmm. If you call into any of the major players, you're going to get a phone, usually a directory that's like, oh, press 1 if you want to go to the telecom stuff, or press 2 if you want to help with a specific device. And you're sitting there through menus and menus, and then usually on hold for like 10 minutes before someone gets to you. And with this, in theory, you should call, someone should pick up the phone, and you're getting help. And if you've ever gone through Amazon or Comcast or even OnePlus or Google, a lot of times you have to explain yourself 3 or 4 times as they pass you from person to person looking for the right person to help you. And this should solve that.
Andrew, we've all used the different carriers through testing phones or even through our own personal service. I mean, is this something that when you're looking for your own personal service that you would say, you know, this on top of everything else that they've done, you know, I'm going to go to T-Mobile, even though it's the same price as Verizon or AT&T or something like that.
Me personally, like, this is just another reason why I want to switch back to T-Mobile, because one, I'm someone who I work in a call center right now where people actually answer the phone for you. And two, I've had to spend more hours on the phone with robots than I would ever care to count. So being able to actually, like, pick up the phone, call someone, and have someone answer, I mean, that's one of the that's honestly one of the reasons why I've stuck with Apple as, like, either primary or secondary phone for so long. Because if I have a problem, I can literally walk into a store and their Genius Bar will, you know, help me figure out what the heck is going on without having to, like, worry about, well, you know, we can't really do anything. You'll have to call customer support.
Right.
And it's just something that I can see. Hopefully this is T-Mobile trying to change the game again and driving other carriers to do something similar.
Yeah. That's the interesting thing for me, is that every move that T-Mobile has made, it seems like Verizon and AT&T and to some extent Sprint have eventually picked up on it. Obviously we know about getting rid of contracts and, you know, buying people out of their contracts to come on over. And obviously we have a ton more examples. But it seems like T-Mobile is trying to push this customer service thing on the rest of the industry. I don't really know how you market this, besides getting on TV and saying, hey, if you have a problem, call in. We're always there for you, because this is a problem that if you have it in the moment, it's terrible. Otherwise, you don't think about it.
Don't think about it whatsoever. Yeah.
Exactly. So I don't think that this is an issue that's going to make anybody change to T-Mobile. But when you start looking at all of the changes that they have made and all of the advantages, even, you know, T-Mobile Tuesdays where you get free stuff and this and financing, you can finance anything there. You can go buy speakers or an Apple Watch or, you know, anything like that. I think it's just another dagger for T-Mobile to twist in the side of the other characters and say, hey, we really are better than the other guys. We're trying to take all those pain points and get rid of them.
What do you guys think? You made a great point where all of their moves have been to shake up the industry. And I mean, T-Mobile basically made all four major carriers switch to unlimited data pretty much overnight as far as industry changes go. And this is just something else that they can throw it. It's more ammo, basically, they can throw the other carriers.
The unlimited data is a great point. I'm glad you brought that up, because if you guys remember back in the exclusive iPhone days for AT&T, you know, you could get, and I believe with Verizon too, you could get unlimited data plans, and Verizon and AT&T ended up hating those so much because they weren't milking people out of it that they just slowly whittled them down and kicked people off those plans. And now it's like, who has a limited data plan now? It's crazy how fast that changed.
Yeah, just less than a year, all four carriers switched over to unlimited.
What do you guys think about the Live Nation thing? Is that anything that you really care about?
I think it's cool. I think it's interesting. And if you're a concert goer, I think that could benefit you, especially if – this is a pretty big if, but especially if they have access to sold-out tickets for the bigger shows, for the more popular artists. Like, if you're looking to get somebody a birthday gift or whatever, and there's a sold-out show coming up, but you know that Live Nation has tickets for you because you're a T-Mobile subscriber, that's potentially a game-changer for you.
What do you think, Andrew?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I mean, I'm not a big concert goer, but like Donovan said, like, if you can get those tickets last minute because you didn't know about it or you needed to wait till you got paid or something like that, being able to do that just because you're on T-Mobile is pretty sweet.
All right. We'll have to see how this one shakes out. I think we're going to ask our fans on Twitter after the podcast goes up how they feel about this on carrier move and whether it really matters to them. All right. We'll head right into our next topic here. The Moto Z3. We just released our review for that as well. It's been a week of great reviews. So this is the Moto Z3, but really it's kind of like the Moto Z2.5. Right. So it's basically the same phone as last year, the same insides. It's got the Snapdragon 835, 4 gigs of RAM. But the thing that matters here is it's a Verizon exclusive, and you can get the 5G Moto Mod. Now, there's only a couple markets out there that have 5G on Verizon, so this seems like a little bit of a marketing play instead of, you know, actual functionality. But a lot of people are panning Motorola for, one, doing an exclusive with Verizon, but two, bringing out a phone that's not really updated from last year. Do you guys think this phone matters in the grand scheme of, you know, phones that are out there right now?
Now, I was under the impression that the Moto, but the 5G mod isn't coming out until like early 2019. Is that right?
No, I believe that what's coming out in 2019 are the first like actual 5G phones. Gotcha. Let me look for, you know, I don't see the release date for the Moto mod with 5G.
It's not here yet, though. Anyway, it's as of yet unreleased, right?
I believe it's coming sometime this year. But again, unless you live in one of the couple markets that has 5G, and I think there's three or four right now, you can't use it anyways.
And honestly, if you live in those areas, which are most likely large metropolitan areas, you're probably going to have a higher end phone anyway. I think it's pretty safe to say.
Right.
The Z2 or the Z3 might not be your niche. I feel like this phone is something that we didn't really need. I think it's Moto trying to get in the 5G game early, but doing it in such a way that doesn't satisfy what's good about 5G. Like it's a phone that can support these massive download speeds with hardware that, you know, can't run the games you download on them, basically.
Andrew, do you think that this is a safe phone to buy into now? Because it is only $480. So, I mean, that's less than even budget flagships. Is it worth $480?
I'm trying not to be a Debbie Downer. I feel like I always am.
Be yourself, buddy. Be yourself.
I can see the need for someone, if you need a new phone and you don't want to drop $800, $900, $1,000 on a phone, and you're planning on sticking with this specific phone for the next 2 years. Like, I know contracts aren't really a thing, but they're still kind of a thing, whatever. Go for it. But you're gonna have to be prepared to spend. I think that the 5G Moto Mod is going to cost at least $200. So, sure. Like, I think you need to be prepared to spend that money or hold off, get something to tie you over, and then just wait till next year when you can go ahead and spend the $800 on a flagship and have 5G built in without having to worry about something that you take on and take off of your phone just to be able to use. Like, I'm not going to want to – if I want to download something, I don't want to slap a Moto Mod onto it just to be able to download something fast and then take it back off again and possibly like break it or have somebody step on it or whatever the case may be, like whatever can happen.
I feel like this integration, it just brings up so many problems. You know, like you said, it's probably going to be at least a $200 Moto Mod. So you have to pay an extra $200 to use the service, basically. And that doesn't even include if Verizon's going to charge you more for 5G. Because I believe when they brought out 4G, you had 3G plans, you had 4G plans. 4G was more expensive.
I'm sure they will.
Yeah. So another good point you brought up is you don't want to slap a Moto Mod on your phone the entire time. I mean, Donovan, is that something that you'd be willing to throw on your phone for the extra speed?
So the only saving grace, and it's kind of a small one, for this Moto Mod is that it has a built-in 2000 milliamp hour battery. So
it would have to, right?
Yeah, like if you're looking to maybe recharge your phone and download an app, that way you don't burn your battery in the process, maybe you're willing to slap it on there real quick and charge your phone up while you're downloading. But I mean, I reviewed the Z2 Play, and I was kind of nonplussed by the whole Moto Mod thing to begin with. It just didn't seem like that much of a convenience.
Well, that's because they completely changed the Moto Play idea. Anyways, the Moto Z Play, the original one, was phenomenal.
Good phone, yeah.
That was a great phone. And then they just decided, hey, we're gonna slim things down, and you're not gonna get a 3800 milliamp hour battery anymore.
But I really don't understand that move by them, but you know, I just feel like if this does take off, or if anyone buys this, we're just gonna see a bunch of people in a year to a year and a half just super salty because all of their friends have these new 5G phones that look like actual phones, and you got to throw a Moto Mod on there, and you've invested a bunch of money in the ecosystem just to use this thing that's now the standard. And
there's no guarantee that it'll work on previous generations.
Yeah.
Like if you don't buy the Moto Z3, the Moto Z2 that is a year old won't work.
Terrible. I don't mind the phone for $480 or whatever it's totally a fine phone. I mean, you can get a better deal because you can go get, you know, a OnePlus 6 or, you know, an Honor View 10, but that phone is fine for under $500 if you just want to go in and get something that's good, going to last you for a while. But the whole 5G thing, I mean, this is worse buzzword marketing than the whole AI crap for me.
Yep, it's a gimmick.
It just sours me on the whole idea of wanting to pick one of these up. And I love Motorola phones. I love their build. I love their software. I wish they updated their software faster, but you know, you can't have everything. And actually doing research on it has turned me off more. And I wouldn't even recommend this phone at that point.
Yeah, it's one of those things where if you don't know what it is, if you haven't done the research, if you're just your average consumer, you'll probably be like, hey, that's really cool. I love fast download speeds. But if you once you kind of do some digging and look at what it's actually going to cost you versus what you're actually getting in your hand, maybe not.
All right. Well, we've got one more topic today, and we are talking about Android 9 Pi. Andrew, why don't you go ahead and take this one too? You recently published your Android Pi review. What did you think?
I know I said earlier that my daily driver was the G7, and that is true, but that's only been for like the last day or two. For the last month and a half or so, I went out and bought a Pixel 2 XL because I wanted Pi, and I put my iPhone in the drawer. And because everything that Google is doing in Android is what I've been wanting for years. You know, they've got the adaptive battery features to make life better. We touched on that a little bit earlier. Gesture navigation, which is what I'm a fan of. I don't care about notch support all that much. The new app switcher is just kind of a cosmetic thing. But being able to go about a day and a half without having to charge my phone up, is absolutely incredible. And regardless of the notch situation with the Pixel 3, I can't wait to see what Android Pi does on 2018 hardware.
So your battery life has gotten that much better?
Yeah, and I bought my Pixel 2 used. I didn't even buy it brand new. I bought it off of Swappa, which is the best place to buy used phones. They're not a sponsor.
Yay, Swappa. I fully endorse those again. They're awesome.
But I bought it off of there. It was one of the initial, you know, runs of the phone. So it's, you know, it's seen some usage. But the battery feel, ever since I upgraded, it just feels perfect.
They must have come a long way, because I was using a Pixel 2 XL, you know, probably up until 2 weeks before the Android Pi came out officially. And my battery life was good, but it wasn't that good. So that's very impressive.
I don't know what it is. I don't know. Maybe I have the anti-battery thing. I don't know. Yeah, but it's like literally the opposite situation of what's going on with my G7. And it's not like Google didn't go super above and beyond in terms of actual aesthetics. Yeah, the notifications are a little bit different. Yeah, you have quick reply in your notifications. Sure, there's a new pill button for the gesture nav, but like everything that they did really seems more under the hood, and this is like more of a refinement before we get to Android 10 next year, which is going to be a gigantic release. And I feel like everything that they've been doing for the last couple of iterations has just been building up to this to be like, okay, this is the way that you're supposed to use the Android. This is our vision. This has been our vision for the last 10 years, and this is the culmination of all of the work that we've done. And we are very, very close with Pi. To me, it feels that way.
And for those of you guys that are listening to this, who may not know Andrew personally, this is high praise. He's an Apple guy that has set aside his iPhone X, the latest and greatest from Apple, basically to use specifically Android 9 Pi. That's a pretty big deal. I mean, a lot of times, Apple fanboys are known for being fiercely loyal. I'm not saying you're an Apple fanboy, but
I'm close
enough. Like Apple. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I got excited when they announced it at IO, but I felt like it was the same kind of excitement that I get every year when a new version of any type of software is released. Like, I'm like, oh, I need to put it on right now. But instead of going out like that day and buying a Pixel 2 XL, I just like kind of waited it out and then slapped it on there as soon as I picked one up. I was like, I can't wait any longer. And it's just been a breeze. Like, I'm probably going to end up switching back from my G7 until I can figure out what's going on with this battery. Just because I know that I could throw my Pixel in my pocket, have all of the best features of stock Android without any extra crap, and just enjoy my experience.
So we did an episode of Hot Take when Android 9 Pi officially released. And one of the things that we brought up during that was this kind of feels like Android is its maturity update. They've added a bunch of features and updates before. They've added stuff under the hood before. But this feels like the first update that does both because it can. They don't have to worry about fixing critical parts of the system. They're finally able to just improve. Would you say that you agree with that, Andrew?
Yeah, definitely. Like, there's not... I know that Artem from Android Police has been having some like major, major issues with his Pixel 2 XL. Like, Google actually came out to his house to see what the heck is going on. But outside of those like outlier situations, that's dead on. Like, this is Android mature. I'm excited to be, I keep stuttering because like I'm excited to talk about it and I feel like I'm still talking in circles, but like that's how excited I am for Pi. And I want to see, you know, I know it may take 6 months, 8 months, 10 months, however long, for other OEMs to jump on board other than Essential and OnePlus, because they did a fantastic job partnering with Google. But like LG and Samsung, I want to see how Android runs on those flagship devices with all the bloatware to see if they finally got it right so that all the OEMs can have great battery life and you don't have to spend money out of pocket to go buy an unlocked Pixel 2 or only be on Verizon to be able to get one.
Donovan, why do you think normal people should care about this?
I mean, besides the fact that it's now a complete OS rather than just some things being great and other things being not so great, I feel like everything in Android Pi is at least complete. If not, you know, excellent. I think there's a lot of convenience, a lot of quality of life that's gone into it, and a lot of thoughtfulness with the design that makes it a user-friendly experience.
So with as good as this operating system is, do you guys think that more OEMs are going to start gravitating towards stock Android since it is so good, and, you know, perhaps they don't feel like they have to load the OS down with a bunch of stuff that Android or that Google has missed?
I think most of them have already started that shift, and it started with Oreo. Mm-hmm. Motorola has always been very close to stock experience. LG is getting there. It still has its own launcher and its own, I think, its own camera apps. But for the most part, the style of how it looks is a far cry from the old systems. HTC is getting there. They still like to advertise having a Sense interface, but it looks nothing like the old Sense interfaces. I think Samsung is the only one that really has its own dedicated look anymore. Everything else is very material design.
Yeah, if you go back just a couple of years, you know, when the Nexus 5 or maybe the 6P came out, there were not a lot of choices on the market for stock Android phones. I mean, you got a Nexus or a Pixel, and that was kind of it. And now we've got a Central and Nokia, and there's quite a few of the Chinese brands that we talk about from time to time here. They're all going stock Android because, hey, if you can get Google to throw a great operating system on there, that's one less thing you have to spend money on, one less thing you need to compete on, because you can just hand the phone to someone and say, here you go. It's a great operating system. Our hardware is amazing. It's a quality product.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons why the UMIDG and Alcatel and all those go with a stock Android experience is then they don't need to hire a software team. All they need is a couple engineers to make sure the compatibility is there. Beyond that, they don't have to worry about designing their own UI and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't agree more. And we have rambled at you guys long enough. that'll do it for today. Thanks for joining us. If you liked this, if you liked what you heard here today, please consider subscribing to us. We're on Google Play Music, iTunes, Pocket Cast, pretty much anywhere where you can find podcasts, you can find us. Also, head over to androidguys.com and click on the link for this podcast. Not only do we post all of the sources for all the information that we gave here today, but you can find out more information on our sponsor, Blue Microphones. If you like how we sound, you should head over there to this post. You can get a discount code, and I can't believe they gave us this big of a discount code. 20% off. I mean, that's huge. I expected, 5-10%, but man, 20%, that's pretty crazy. We absolutely love Blue Microphones. And I had my own before we started this podcast. We're not alone as lovers of Blue Microphones. Blue's an award-winning company, and the driving force behind professional musicians, internet creators, countless elite gaming teams, Twitch streamers. Their Blue Yeti USB microphone, which is exactly what I'm using, have been using for years. It's the most popular microphone on the internet, and there's a reason for that. It's awesome. It's cheap. We absolutely love it. So head on over to androidguys.com. Get your discount code. Tell Blue that we sent you over there if you get a chance to. For Andrew Donovan, I'm Matt Adams. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you guys next time.